If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now here's your hosts, Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos.
Hello, hello, and welcome to The Rational Revolution. I am Chris Elfheim with my friend here, Emily Cephos. We are in charge of bringing you some rational conversation about what matters to you. We do our best to do that. This is our second show, so welcome back to those of you who tuned in the first time.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. And anybody joining us for the first time, just know that we are pretty normal people, just trying to talk and bring things back to the way it used to be, where we could bring up a topic and look at things from more than one direction and do it in a civil way. So thanks for joining us. Emily, what happened with you this week? Give us a little couple minutes on what's going on.
We went to Door County as a family back last weekend, which was a lovely, lovely thing to do. Some beautiful weather. We got some beach time. Ooh. Today is my 10-year anniversary to my husband.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Yeah, so we're 10 years of wedded bliss, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going back up, but we're going without the kids this weekend.
Even better.
So it'll be a good time. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Wheels is on the wall.
That
just shows how smart you are.
Yes, definitely. I agree. What about you?
Well, I would say the Mile of Music down in Appleton was the highlight of the week. For those of you who have never attended, come on down to Mile of Music. It's always the first weekend in August. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic. What I love about Mile of Music, I think they had 700 performances over the 4 days.
Right.
All original music, all different genres. And I love that every age bracket is down there enjoying music. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I think we share. One of the common things, most of us truly enjoy good music.
Right.
And you could walk around, you could sit outside, you could sit inside, you could do some of each. And it was just outstanding. We spent time down there on Friday and Saturday. By Sunday, I was kind of done.
Those are long days.
It was long days, but yeah. It was really fantastic.
That's awesome.
So tell us what's on the docket today.
I don't know if you've seen this, but Governor Evers is calling a special session, which he has done a few times before in his tenure. Mm. But this go around, I think that one of the main things he's focusing on is childcare, because it seems as though the childcare industry in Wisconsin is facing a fiscal cliff of sorts, or we're about to see kind of the funding that exists for the childcare industry run its course, run out. And so there will be drastic changes to that landscape. If somehow they don't work together and have a discussion about adjusting the support that industry will get going forward. So I'm excited, because for me, it rings personally. I have three little kids, and I was a teacher. And when we had our first child, we had, this was back in 2015. We had at different childcare facilities about a year to 2 years wait list.
Really?
Yeah. And then when, a teacher salary, you don't I'd pretty much be paying to whatever childcare we were able to get it to the amount that I was making. Right. Kind of is a wash. So I actually stopped working. I left the workforce at
that
point.
You left the workforce?
I did. And we are seeing across our state that there are a lot of parents that are facing that same kind of issue.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason it's important for us to talk about it in this dynamic is that I think perhaps the assumption is that if you don't have kids, it's not your problem. Mm. And what we really want to talk about today is how the lack of childcare or the expense of childcare is affecting everyone, whether you have kids or not. You are being affected by that in this economy. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different options. The governor has one option coming up where he's trying to pump some cash in. Mm-hmm. And on the Republican side, the leadership is, instead trying to get it via tax breaks through the middle class, which is interesting. But we have a special guest coming on later today. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it because Corinne Hendrickson is coming on, and she's an owner of a facility and has been active in the advocacy for the role. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to talk about how it does affect us. When I was out campaigning last year, it was amazing. The number of houses that I would knock on the door, and these, beautiful, healthy, young, in my opinion, young retirees would answer the door, and there would be 2 and 3 year olds running around them. It was grandmas. Mm-hmm. And these were nurses. These were teachers. They were professionals that left their positions because their kids could not find childcare. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal.
It is.
In terms of the economy, workforce is a big deal. I mean, if you know anything about the demographics, you know that the baby boomers are all coming up for, if they're not already, by 2030, they're pretty much all going to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a massive workforce.
It is.
The Great Retirement, they talk about it.
Yeah.
What I think people don't realize is really the cost of healthcare. I'm sorry, of childcare.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it in my perspective. When I was a young teenager, I babysat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. My aunt out in central Wisconsin had 6 kids.
Yeah.
I babysat for all 6 of them, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week.
Ooh.
Pretty sure I got paid $50.
Oh, wow. That's a good deal for her.
That's a heck of a deal.
Not for you.
But I bring that up because most of us don't realize the actual cost
right.
of childcare.
Right.
I read a story the other day that said the average cost of childcare for 1 4-year-old, if you have 1 4-year-old in childcare, the cost is somewhere around $9,500 for the year.
Right.
$9,500. That's more than the tuition for mm-hmm. UW-Wisconsin.
Yep.
What? That's for one.
Yeah. It's like, it's wild. And I think like the where we're at right now, we have the Governor Evers is proposing $365 million to be spent on childcare statewide. And that's primarily, there's the pandemic era childcare accounts program
mm-hmm.
that was kind of like boosting that industry because of course they needed to shut down. And there, I mean, that was just thrown into a tumult like during the pandemic.
Yep.
But that money from that federal program is slated to run out in January of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up on it. So what Evers' administration is trying to do is to pump more money into it so that they can continue because in what I've read, what providers are saying is that we cannot, you know, we have wait lists that are too long. We have to keep every 3 months raising our rates because we're not making the money off of it anymore.
Right.
And it's just like, it's, if we don't, because this is all about growing the workforce in my mind. If we don't inject money into that industry, the ripple effect, the reverberations are going to be felt across
right.
different aspects of our lives. And while I think it seems though, as though the Republicans' idea is to do those middle class tax cuts, that will somehow infuse more or incentivize more people to come in to start businesses and you'll be able to boost the economy that way and things like that. But the argument is that you mentioned a worker shortage, right?
Right.
All of these things is that like, that seems to be, it could be more of a Band-Aid is
right.
what some people are saying, rather than being like the root of this problem is something that has existed for a long time and we
right.
actually need to take time to remedy. So
yeah, and I think that the using taxes to fix it, I have two thoughts on it. One, if they were to put back in the middle tax class cut, first, mm-hmm. that's benefiting an awful lot of people that aren't in the child care issue.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, those that are in a child care issue, if they average you know, increased return and be $500. How is that helping?
Right.
How is that solving the problem?
Well, it's like you do, I mean, we can talk about averages and math and all that, where you're grabbing from the very bottom and the very top that's going to bring that average up. So
right.
we can go into the tax brackets at a different date.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that saved money, right? If you consider the fact that like your goods could cost more,
mm-hmm.
that you're going to have to pay more for all these different services simply because we don't have the workers to cover it anymore.
Right.
Like that is where you're going to be spending more money. That's
yeah.
not a tax cut anymore.
Right.
That's just reallocating money to different
yeah.
private entities.
You know, and I know if I was, you know, talking to my Republican friends, the conversation would be, well, why should we be supporting it? Why should we be putting dollars in,
mm-hmm.
you know, for this industry? And I would challenge the concept of the GOP is usually to funnel money in anything that causes something good for the state economically.
Mm-hmm.
There are hundreds of millions of dollars that are spent every year in Madison that goes to industries
mm-hmm.
that we believe by helping them with tax rate. And we do this at a community level as well.
Yeah.
Whether it be developers coming down and bringing in real estate, we give tax breaks to industry because we believe in the long run it
right.
is the right thing for our economy,
mm-hmm.
therefore our people. That is the trickle-down theory of the Republican Party. So if you believe that, then you must look at this child care issue differently.
Mm-hmm.
You must look at it as the benefit is increased workforce.
Right.
That's the product that we're trying to get, which is good for the economy. Working people are good.
Mm-hmm.
We need people filling the jobs that we have. The good news is we have plenty of jobs available.
Right.
The bad news is we don't have enough people to fill them.
Right.
Well, you have to solve that. The product is that we're trying to develop workforce.
Right.
So why the Republican Party won't look at it as such is beyond me. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, I don't know if because there aren't enough dollars coming in, there aren't enough squeaky wheels saying it, but we're here to say this is the rational conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to increase the workforce.
Right.
In order to do that, we are going to have to help. And why would we argue with that? Why would we argue with the concept of helping an industry that helps the state's economy be healthier?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're trying to do.
Right.
So we have to be able to get past the, you know, why would we help these people? Most of us don't even realize how many industries are actually being helped by us, the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just done on the back door of right. things instead of the front door. What the governor is trying to say is this is a front door issue. Mm-hmm. Now, you can argue, and I would as well, is using a one-time surplus the right choice? No. It's not, but it's the only choice we have right now until we can use some rational thought and actually fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a problem that affects everybody.
Right.
So this is not an issue. We're talking about the child care issue today, and we're on the rational revolution here. And whether you have kids or not, mm-hmm. this is your issue.
Yep,
because
I agree.
When you're at a restaurant and you can't get your food fast enough, it's because they don't have enough workers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to order something and it's on back order for 6 months, it's because it can't be made because they don't have enough workers.
Mm-hmm.
All of this affects us.
Yep.
Every corner of the world. Tell me a quick, before we had to break, tell us who our guest is.
So we are going to have Corrine Hendrickson. She is an owner of Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus.
Hmm.
She is an advocate and one of the co-founders of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed team. So they have been in Madison and they've been sounding the alarm. They've been training up other child care providers on how to talk to legislators about this to really impart to them the impact that child care counts has had and what would happen if they don't continue to support that this financially with a surplus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big deal that we have advocates.
It is.
And it usually starts out with a few small voices,
mm-hmm.
and we tend to not get a whole lot done that way. So we're very, very excited about this conversation coming up. Again, our goal is to learn more, to have great discussions about pluses and minuses.
Yep.
You are with us with the Rational Revolution, WGBW, the Talk of GB.
Green Bay.
Got it. I wrote down GB on my notes. And WISS Oshkosh Air Support. Also the Civic Media app. If you've got the app, you can actually text us a question.
Yes, please do.
We look forward to having you on the flip side again. Chris Alfheim,
Emily Steffos.
Come on back.
Bye.
Back to the Rational Revolution with Chris Alfheim and Emily Steffos.
Hello.
We are very excited to have our first guest on our show. Emily, take us away here. What do we got?
Go ahead. So we are talking to Corrine Hendrickson. So tonight we wanted to focus on the special session, especially the childcare industry, because it is in dire straits. And this is not a new problem, but with the special session coming up, the legislature has an opportunity to continue funding and supporting our child care providers across the state, which is helping, as we said, the workforce and families. We're really excited to have Corrine Hendrickson, who is from New Glarus, and she is owner and operator of Corrine's Little Explorers.
I love the name.
Yes, and is also the co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. Corrine, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we are so glad you're here. I don't know if you just want to start. What I found interesting is yesterday I was on a video call with you, and you shared your story about how you started your child care. So do you want to just give us your story?
Sure. I definitely can. So 15 approximately years ago, I had a 10-month-old son and three very pregnant friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was working retail as a manager for Bath and Body Works and substitute teaching on my days off. And then my three very pregnant friends were having a hard time finding care. So this is not a new problem. Mm-hmm. This is not anything that should be surprising to anyone that, you know, we are still struggling today. So I offered to quit my job for my friends and start my child care program.
You are
I do have
a friend.
Bachelor's in early childhood education. So I was like, I'll use my degree. So throughout the summer, I continued working, kind of was looking into the rules and regulations. And then the first baby was born, and then the second baby was born the second week. So I gave my notice to work, and I had my last day of work on a Saturday, and I opened my business on a Monday.
Wow.
Wow.
And so you've been operating in New Glarus for the last 15 years, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain to us why, with Wisconsin Early Childhood Action needed, when did that start, and why? What was your impetus for that?
Yeah, so Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed was officially launched in the spring of 2020, right after COVID hit. Mm-hmm. My colleague, Brooke Skidmore, she owns and operates a group center here in New Glarus, and I had been advocating for inclusion of children with special needs and different legislation or funding that could help us support those kids so we would stop expelling them. Right now, and across the country and the state, we expel children with special needs from childcare programs at 9 times the rate of the entire K-12 system. Oh, wow. 4 times the rate, sorry. They are 9 times more likely to end up in prison. Wow. So we're advocating for those types of things. And then we were also doing No Small Matter documentary screenings around the state. COVID hit. The one that we had planned was canceled, obviously, for in-person purposes. But No Small Matter reached out to us and asked us if we would be willing to do an online version. So we did. We had over 5,000 people watch the video, and we had over 500 people participate in an online YouTube, Facebook conversation. So we decided that we were going to take the information from the email from all those people, and we were going to start Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. And we started with a Facebook page, and then now have a website and everything else. And it really is for advocacy purposes, general and combining forces with group tech center, family child care, parents and employers all around, you know, really getting funding and focus on early childhood education and child care.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. If I could ask a question, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. So I think the listeners are curious. So we just talked about the expense, right? How much it costs to have a four-year-old in care. And I think a lot of people are sitting back thinking, well, if it's a daycare provider and you have X amount of kids, it seems like that should be enough cash flow. So can you help us understand, help us break down where the need is and where the struggle is that puts you in the situation of asking for this assistance?
Yes, absolutely. I had so many people throughout the years tell me, I can do math, you're making all kinds of money. And then I explained to them, well, I can show you where my expenses are. So basically, my food expenses to feed the 8 children I have is around $11,000 a year. That's more than what one child's tuition is. My operational expenses, my property taxes, my, you know, kids are expensive. They break toys. They need a lot of different materials and consumables. Taxes, I'm self-employed, so I have to pay out, you know, the full 15% of that. And in a group center, it's the employees, the number of adults per child, the ratio is there for a reason. It's for health. It's for safety. Children's brains develop through relationships and feeling safe and secure. And if there's too many children, they're not going to feel safe and secure, and they will not develop. Their brains will not develop, you know, to their fullest extent. So the biggest problem is that we just cannot charge parents enough, even though you're hearing these huge exorbitant numbers of $9,000 to $20,000 a year is what it costs for that child to be in care. It's because our expenses are so high. Our business liability continues to go up. Mine went up $200 this last year for the children, you know, and like everything else, anybody has to purchase for their children or for their home. We have to do that as well, but it's, you know, at scale. Right. So that's the biggest thing is that, you know, it's the cost of our operating expenses. And then for group centers, it's also the cost for, you know, the number of adults that you have to have in order to run your business.
Right. So you're a great example. I mean, we talk about, you have 3 friends all pregnant at the same time, which I'm not sure what's in the water down there. Watch out. But the fact is you left the workforce to really be that caretaker for 4 families, yourself and 3 more. So that's been going on a long time. It is a big deal that most of us don't understand, and it does affect all of us across the state.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that when it comes to like this childcare, can you explain to us, I guess, we have about a minute left, about the funding running out in January. What does that mean for the industry? Just like a quick elevator speech on that.
So basically what it means, in order for us to make up that revenue so that we do not lose even more people and more programs close, or, you know, that teachers leave, because $12.66 is the average that a teacher makes in a child care. Wow. That is unacceptable.
Wow.
We have to raise our rates. Those rates, on average, the revenue that child care accounts brought into our programs was approximately 25%. So we're going to have to raise our rates 25%. That's about $50 a week per child.
Wow.
That breaks the bake for some.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. Stay with us. Mm-hmm. This is Corinne Hendrickson, owner-operator of Corinne's Little Explorer. This is Chris Alfheim and Emily Steffos with Rational Revolution here on the WGBW Talk of Green Bay. WISS Oshkosh Air Support and the Civic Media app. Send us a text if you like. Come on back on the backside. We're going to have Corinne with us again on the following segment, getting into more detail about the options up in Madison, down in Madison. Come on back. Day by day.
Hello and welcome back to Rational Revolution. This is Emily Steffos with my friend Chris Alfheim.
Whoop, whoop.
We are here with Civic Media on WGBW and WISS this evening. We are also talking to Corinne Hendrickson, and we are focusing tonight on that special session that Governor Evers has just called for September 20th. Corinne, I just want to make sure you're still with us.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, I'm going to start you off with a quote, and I'd just like your response to it, because we were talking about the difference in priorities, I guess, for the special session. So this is from Speaker Robin Voss. He says, Governor Evers' proposal to give child care providers a one-time payment of $365 million is another 12-month patch to match what they just lost through the federal stimulus plan. It's unsustainable and does nothing to address the long-term problem faced by the child care industry. Would love your feedback on that.
Oh, I have lots of feedback, but I will
remember,
keep it short and sweet.
We can keep it civil here. Keep it civil.
The biggest thing is that the fact that he says it's unsustainable, when there's return on investment is $16 for every dollar that we spend. Whenever we spend a dollar on early care and education, we are then reinvesting in our children. We're reinvesting in our communities. We are increasing our tax base, because more people working means more money they're making, more taxes they're making. They're, contributing that the people that are able to work have more household income. They can spend it immediately in their communities. They can take small vacations. They can go to neighboring communities. And also that return on investment then includes lower health care costs later, lower K-12 costs, because kids getting those first 5 years when 90% of their brain is developing, having that good solid foundation means that the cost for special education and remedial classwork goes down in that K-12 system. And then also we're the workforce behind the workforce today and tomorrow. So today we're allowing people to work outside of the home and be gainfully employed for other businesses. And then also we're developing those brains for those children so that tomorrow's workforce is ready and willing and able to go. And, even the military understands that the military invests in child care and early care and education. They have a very robust system on their military bases because they understand that it's a critical need.
So this goes back to what we had kind of started the show off. From the GOP perspective, they tend to look at things where we don't really want to give out social support or anything like that. They talk about their tax cut as an option, and it really doesn't get to the point. We also talk about the fact that the GOP tends to see things in, they invest in industry. They invest, they give tax breaks, they give out dollars to industries that they believe will then trickle down and provide opportunity for the state's economy. This is an example of that. Child care is an example of an industry that gives back far more than it's taking. Mm-hmm. So the idea of it being a one-shot, there is an argument that says fixing it through our surplus is not a long-term patch. I think that's a true statement from Representative Voss. But the reality is we have to get at a real fix. We must fix it. And this is an industry that needs to be supported just like education. If we do not provide the basis to allow people to go to work, then we will have this loss. We have things not going on.
Well, I think too, Senator Calderoys from Madison said that childcare is infrastructure. So when we're talking about that kind of industry, it's a core public service like roads that we need to help the rest of society function properly. Do you agree with that, Corinne? I'm assuming
you are. Oh, definitely. And I don't understand why we are not being respected as business owners in our own right and as an industry in our own right as something to invest in. I've never understood why we're ignored. Mm-hmm. Also, if we're, he's saying that this is a one-time fix, great. Go ahead and pass it and then have conversations with us. I actually sent an email from WeCan to Representative Armstrong asking him to meet with him and his eight other Republicans in their work group that is putting together legislation, supposedly, that they keep alluding to but not sharing it with us. So we keep saying, we will meet with you. Please talk with us. If you, think that the manufacturers or the farmers, they need, discussions about legislation, they go to them. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they coming to us? Why aren't they having these conversations? Right. We're definitely open to it, and I welcome any sort of conversation with, whoever you are, because this is a nonpartisan issue. Over 80% of voters say that we should be investing more in childcare. That is up 10% since before COVID. Even a majority of Republicans at above 80% say we need to be investing. And Democrats, it's almost 100%. Independents are right around that 90% mark.
Yeah. I think that's why we have to have this conversation. We have to have the conversation to help people realize whether you have children or not, whether you run a childcare facility or not, you are impacted. Everybody in this state is impacted by this issue, which has been going on for over a decade, and it's getting to a breaking point. So now we're in the situation of having to deal with the legislation and move forward from here.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that one of the other things I wanted to bring up to you, Corrine, was that this is from Speaker Voss again, but Wisconsin right now stated that the Wisconsin Shares program helps fund parents' childcare expenses and that rates are increasing. And under that program, state providers cannot use the childcare counts to reimburse families who don't receive Wisconsin Shares. Can you explain that to our viewership as best you can, at least at what Wisconsin Shares is?
Or listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll go with the Wisconsin Shares part. I'm not sure what he means by the childcare count, so I'll just ignore that.
Okay.
So Wisconsin Shares is the subsidy that eligible families can receive in order to help offset the cost of childcare. First, they have to find a program that accepts shares and has an opening for their children. Then they go ahead and apply with the county. Then the county lets them know if they're approved. Then they have to go to the program and say, are you really enrolling this child? We say yes. Then they give the parent the amount of money that they get. Then we tell them, well, this is our tuition rate. And then the parent, 9 times out of 10, says, I still can't afford you. Because what happens is subsidy is not a voucher where they get it and it pays the entire amount that we charge. This way that subsidy in our state is set up is that it takes the average market rate for the county that the child care program resides in. And then they get 75% of that average market rate as the maximum amount that they would receive as a family for each child. Then they have to pay us the difference. So for instance, I'm in New Glarus, which is almost in Dane County. I charge a lot more than the average rate, market rate. So the families already are actually going to pay me about half of what I charge. And so really it's not the fix that the Republicans are stating that it is. And it's also all federally funded money, and it's a federal requirement. I have a couple stats for you. Of the 400,000 children in Wisconsin under the age of 6, only 12,328 actually get subsidy. And that number is only 8% of all eligible children that get subsidy. So it is way underfunded. It is way underutilized. And it's because it's not really a solution.
Interesting. So it really has, the subsidy thing comes back, and I've heard multiple conversations in different industries about this. The hospital industry is complaining because their payback or the reimbursement rate is too low. Nursing homes complain that the reimbursement rate is too low. You're in the same situation. Those that are in subsidies, that means that you're then taking a decreased number. So once again, we have the issue of what they have in place now is not strong enough to actually solve the problem. And rather than trickling down one family at a time and going through the issue, why do we not just help the industry? Why don't we help just bump the industry up so that it can do its job, which is, again, providing the infrastructure of our youth and our workforce? It doesn't seem like it's that hard of a thought process. It seems rather rational, in my opinion, if we can actually look at childcare providers as an industry.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say, too, with your point about the return on investment being $16 for every dollar spent on these kiddos?
Yeah.
That, I mean, when we're talking the Band-Aid or the short-term solution that Voss, alluded to, that like this is not, that investing in this industry in particular pays dividends down the road. Do you agree?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would actually then make it sustainable because right. we're spending less money in other ways. Mm-hmm. However, if you're not looking at it that way, you're not, probably not going to realize that that's where that extra money is coming through. And I forgot to say, it also will decrease crime.
Yeah.
And it increases crime rates and, you know, incarceration dollars. So if you want to decrease crime, invest in child care.
That all. Yep. I mean, you make a sound argument for certain. So with the special session coming up, Corinne, what are you as your group and all of the providers that you're working with, what are your goals? What's the marching orders for the next couple of weeks?
The goal is that it gets passed and not just gaveled in and gaveled out. So what we're going to do in the meantime is, last night we actually had a training with several of our members, and some Democratic leaders came in and did some breakout sessions with us. I did invite the Republicans. I didn't even receive a response from them, you know, acknowledging that I even made the request. But what we did was talked about having site visits. So the marching orders are for childcare programs and other business owners and employers to invite representatives to come into their businesses and talk about childcare and how it affects them, and for the childcare programs to talk about how childcare counts has, you know, allowed us to stabilize tuition even in the face of, you know, record-setting inflation. As you know, Robin Voss also made a comment about, was that all the money from Biden increased our inflation so high. Well, guess what? The money coming into childcare helps keep offset that inflation. And if you think inflation was bad before, wait until childcare costs go up 25%. It's going to radically increase everything else. The other marching orders are for parents to contact their representatives, for childless colleagues to contact representatives and say, hey, I'm sick of doing two jobs because my employer can't keep, you know, a full staff because there's not enough childcare. For, you know, grandparents to say, hey, I want to be grandma. I don't want to be the child care provider. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to take my kids when I want to and spoil them rotten and send them back home. and basically anybody who cares about children or economy or even wants to get good service when they go, like you had said, to a retail establishment and be fully staffed or open when they want it to be open, mm-hmm. They need to be contacting the reps and saying, hey, this is something that is a wise investment in my tax dollars, and I would rather pay now instead of paying later. For the, you know, the jails and for the lower taxes and for fewer people, you know, the higher healthcare costs, because again, the things that happen those first 5 years set these children up for success or failure.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that you said is really important. One, I do think that everybody needs to, if you acknowledge that this is an issue that affects all of us, then taking action is on all of us to do so. Mm-hmm. I think the idea that if there's a problem as big as this and you invite all sides to come and bear witness. You're saying, come to us and let us show you, let us describe, let us educate you on the real issue. When people when our legislators choose not to show up to learn, I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we all expect, no matter who is in that position, to listen and learn. We may disagree. They may think that there's a different way to do it, but at least show up to be educated on what the situation is as we are today, to learn what's going on so we can talk about it as a reality as opposed to something that doesn't seem to matter to them.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that we just got a text from a parent in Kaukauna who said that for their three-year-old, they are now increasing their rate to $275 per week, and said that if no action is taken, there will be more increases coming. So with the last few minutes we have, Corinne, can you kind of paint the, if they gavel in and gavel out, what does that look like for childcare when that runs out in January 2024?
It will, like I said, it will be closures. Most of us are raising our rates. It wasn't looking like all of us necessarily were really set on raising rates, because again, we have a hard time raising rates because we know parents can't necessarily afford it. And then there is that fear of, you know, people pulling out, which then will actually make it so we have to raise our rates more to continue operating, and then we will close. So we've always done that fine balance because we've always mm-hmm. only charged what we can get, not the actual true cost of care, which is around $18 a month for an infant. Wisconsin's average is around $900 a month for that. So that the amount that is less, that $900, is actually coming out of the teacher's wages and benefits. And so we really need to get that up, because who is going to work for $12.66 an hour without mm-hmm. any benefits? What is the quality going to be? And it's not fair to us as professionals who are educated, and what we do is very important. Mm-hmm. And so what's going to happen is we're going to leave and take different jobs. We are going to close, because as a family child care provider, if I lose two of my families, I won't make enough to contribute enough to my household to make our bills and make our payments. And I will have to quit because I'm not going to risk losing my house to foreclosure. So mm-hmm. you're going to look at massive closures of family child care, and you're going to look at massive increases of cost. My families are going, I did not raise my rates at all since 2019 because I had the stabilization funds coming through and all of that. So I was able to keep my costs down for my families. I will be raising my rates about $70 a week per child as mm-hmm. Between June, which I did a small increase, and February. I don't know how much longer I'll have families that can afford it. Also, it's an equity piece. Who can afford it? The people who have the most.
Right.
Who's not the people with, that Karine, have the least, they'll have subsidy.
Exactly.
But the rest of us won't have, like, what about the people in the middle?
Gotcha.
What's going to happen to them?
Exactly. If you're willing to, a couple more minutes, just stick around. We're about to head out to a break, but we'd love to have you back. So just hang tight. Karine Henderson will be with us. It is Rational Revolution on 97.9 WGBW and WISS Oshkosh Air Support. Thanks so much. We'll
you
be back.
You nailed that.
Ha-ha.
You nailed it. Oh, you know you want a revolution. It should be rational, though. This is Chris Elf. I'm Emily Cephos at the Rational Revolution. Welcome back. We still have on the line our guest for today, Karine Henderson, owner-operator of the Karine's Little Explorer Family Child Care. Just a couple minutes with you, Karine, if we can. If there's one thing in terms of an action step, and you rattled through about 72 of them in 27 seconds. I can tell you've done this before. But one action step that everyone can take that would be beneficial to the state of Wisconsin, what would that one action step be?
Contact their representatives and share their story about why they want investment in child care.
Yeah. And I think that to add on to that, I think it's important to realize that anytime you send an email via the Facebook page or the email page or the website of your legislature, that is an official record. It is officially scored. Mm-hmm. So when it comes time to say, hey, how many people in your area, how many of your constituents have talked to you about this child care crisis, they need to be able to say, I've received X amount of emails. Yep. So it doesn't matter whether you're on the same team or not. It doesn't matter red, it doesn't matter blue, it doesn't matter who your legislature is. If you are not reaching out and putting it on record that you believe it's a problem that needs to be addressed, then they don't have to acknowledge the problem exists.
Yep. And if we get loud enough, that's when change happens. So, Karine, go ahead.
Yep. And if it doesn't, we hold them accountable.
Exactly. Love it. Love it. That's the way this is supposed to work anyway. Karine, we want to say thank you so much for being here with us and all the work you're doing and will continue to do, I'm sure, through that special session and beyond. And thank you to all the child care providers that that you're working with and you're training up and supporting. This is a rough time, and we're really glad that Wisconsin families and communities have you as a leader in this space.
Absolutely. Keep it up.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, I want to thank everyone who has joined in, with me, and for all of the media and everyone else who's putting the spotlight on this and having these rational conversations.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right, bye. That was great.
It was
great. That was excellent.
Again, I think that our job here is to bring up issues that people don't realize are necessarily issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And these do touch everything that we do. And again, we have to realize that we have an impact on the solution. It's not about, picking sides. It's about saying, how does this affect us? What are the options that we have to solve it?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be able to look at it from, do you want to look at it as a business? Okay, fine. Then what's your strategy in helping businesses that are helping the economy?
Right.
This is a business that our economy is needing, not just now, but forever.
Right. And I will say that I connected with a childcare provider that operates her own center in the town of Center, actually nearby. And so they actually are having Senator, help me with the last name. I know you know it better. Cabral.
Yes.
Guevara.
Yes.
Is that Senator, close enough?
Let's go with Senator Rachel.
Rachel. That's great. she's coming in next week. And so we're hopeful that when you get people, whether it is childcare or education or anything, get in the room with the people that are doing the work so you could truly understand what they're experiencing and the impact of this legislation that you're passing or not passing or hearing and having discussions about or pushing off to the side. It impacts people in real time that we care about in our neighborhoods.
And I think that our expectation of our leadership is one to show up. Mm-hmm. So point for Senator Rachel.
Yeah.
Show up first, learn the information, and then take action on it.
Exactly.
I think that what oftentimes we have, one, people don't show up, or if they do show up, then what are they doing with the information?
Mm-hmm.
If we need people to lead.
Right.
These are difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And we need our legislators to be willing to say, we need to pay attention to this.
Right.
Even if your leadership doesn't like the idea, are you strong enough?
Right.
Are you strong enough to represent your entire constituency mm-hmm. and say, this is a big deal?
Right.
And we must take care of it. The Fox Valley, the Green Bay, all of us are in this situation.
Yeah.
So childcare, again, who thought that it would be necessarily affecting my 97-year-old grandmother?
Right.
Well, but it does.
Yeah,
exactly. It absolutely does.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, we need to staff the places. We are used to getting the service that we want, when we want it, where we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, as we sprawl, our community sprawl, we have more and more places that we're trying to staff, more and more businesses.
Right.
And it's harder and harder to do. We always knew we would have a shortfall of workers, and yet we still expect more and more closer to home and easier to get.
Right.
It's our expectation of service and supply that put us in the situation of not having enough. So what are we going to do to make sure we can bump that up?
Yeah, I agree. And I will say that we don't, when it comes to connecting those dots, which I think is the whole point of this program, it's like you said, recognizing that when you go to a restaurant and it's not done, you know, it's not open in the hours you want it to be open, or it usually was, or whatever it is, this is all part of this whole tangled web that we find ourselves in politically. So
one of my favorite restaurants down in Appleton only serves brunch. The only time they serve dinner is on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a business decision because they could not maintain the quality, which is outstanding, and the service without killing their staff.
Right.
So they decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, the business made the decision. It wasn't about how much money they could make. It was how could they be successful within the parameters of what they had.
Yeah.
Therefore, we don't get to enjoy them as often.
Yep. And the unique thing about the childcare industry is that that's not just the one industry. It's that it's going to affect every other industry. So economic issue right here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's coming up next week?
Well, I want to wrap it up and just say thank you so much for hanging in there, you guys. Like this was, I think it was enlightening for me.
Yep.
I learned a lot. But next week we're going to talk about I guess it's a hot button topic because it has become that, but diversity, equity, and inclusion, what it means, what the state of it is in Wisconsin, what the arguments are for and against it.
Yeah.
And how it impacts us.
Yeah, it's interesting. In Appleton, we just had Appleton East. There was a conversation going on today.
Yep.
They were trying to put out an orientation for basically anybody of color to meet early. And there was some type of a suit filed that it was exclusive. So we're going to get into that. It is a hot button. There are multiple sides to the issue. But I think that if we talk about it, we can maybe create some empathy across the board and see when it makes sense, why it makes sense, how it makes sense, and or at least how it affects us and our families. And it's a valid conversation to have.
You guys, we appreciate you being here with us and sticking around for our second show. And we are just so tickled. I love doing this with you, Chris. It's a really good time.
I love doing this with you too. And we did have a couple of texts come in tonight, which is exciting. We did have one come in. We were just about out of time, but we had one come in saying that she's making $15 an hour. She has two kids paying $5 per hour per kid.
Yep.
So by the time all is said and done, is she making any money?
Nope.
That's a hard no.
Yep.
Hard no. It doesn't matter what the job is. It's $15 an hour.
Yeah.
So it's a real issue. It's affecting all of us. This has been the Rational Revolution, show number 2. We love being here with you. We hope you come on back. Thank you. Oh, don't forget the Brown County Fair.
Ooh.
Brown County Fair, August 16th to 20th. WGBW and Civic Media have a truth booth.
You can go and share your story.
Share your stories. We're going to be there as well.
Yeah.
We appreciate you tuning in and come on back. Again, Rational Revolution. We shouldn't need a revolution to be rational.
No.
But we do right now.
Here Thanks for joining us on WGBW. And WISS. If you are not tuning in live, catch us on the Civic Media app. We're struggling. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody.